2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Welcome back, Aunt Scotty. Good, bad, and ugly. Opportunity to give you updates on headlines we haven't had a chance to get to. Look, the good is quite simple. The PGA Championship continues to just dominate. I don't know what it is about these majors. They've drawn me in. I've only recently become a golfing fan and a golfer. I think I picked up a stick maybe 10 years ago for the first time in my life. I'm not the golfing historian. I couldn't tell you all of the greats. Of course, I've learned some of the names along the way. But over probably the last 5 or 6 years, these majors have just become a huge draw for me. Every time we've got one, I get all into this major pain in the butt. I'm turning this whole thing down a little bit right now because Lloyd Cole's got the two top. Oh, let's see.
No, Rory dropped a shot.
Oh, so Zalatoris is now currently in the second spot. Rory McIlroy, 4 under. Tied with Abraham Anser.
Which, by the way, Will Zalatoris might be a guy that needs to start being taken at some point in the draft.
Yeah, he's pretty consistent, isn't he?
He has been. He's had several top tens in majors.
Is that my guy, Cam Smith? Is he creeping up
leaderboard
a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. So Cam
Smith. You're very lucky that you forced me to Dustin Johnson because that was the other guy I was going to take.
Oh. Well, then you would have had all three in the top five. I've got Scotty, some call him Schefter, some call him Scheffling, some call him Scheffler.
Sheffield.
Some call him Sheffield. Right now, he's my Dustin Johnson, I guess.
Yeah, he's no bueno. He struggled today.
So Dustin and he didn't make the cut, correct?
No, I don't think Dustin did. I'm pretty sure he didn't because he double bogeyed. I think he was 6 over. I think he finished 6 over or maybe 7 over.
But
yeah, they're done.
I just, Lloyd, I think you're the same, right? Like, I know I've got all these plans, but I'm going to go home and sit in a couch and probably watch the final rounds kind of wrap up.
Oh yeah, I'll be watching a lot. All is gone. In fact, I'll probably be watching from start to finish.
Is this one of the best?
I'm going to be on the couch.
There's a lot of great things about our job, but is this one of the best aspects of our job? That we get to kick back and watch this, and I'm not even kidding you. I tell my wife, babe, I'm being serious. I need it quiet. I'm really working. And she's like, you're watching golf. And I'm like, I get it. But
as I sit there, when it's like, I don't know, hole 7, and I'm like, huh?
You're just like me.
I don't care what you say. There is nothing better on a Sunday. Like, to lay on a couch, you got the golf, and the voices, the soothing voices, like, it's great. And the ambient noises of the, you know, the birds chirping, trees, water, waterfalls, whatever, rivers. Like, you hear it, and it's just like, it relaxes you. And it's amazing.
So,
and you could be, like, literally sleeping, but you actually are still hearing what's happening. You know what's happening.
No, I know. I know exactly the zone you're in.
Right.
And it happened to me yesterday. You know, Lloyd, you've been on air with me for, 12 or 13 of the 16 years. You know I'm an open book, and you know I overshare too often. I'm going
to – To a fault sometimes,
I'm going to overshare a little bit from yesterday. So yesterday we wrap up the show, and I was excited to get home because I wanted to watch the kind of the final parts of major coverage yesterday. So on my way home, I get this hankering, this urge for a Mexican pizza from Taco Bell because they're back, and I haven't had one. So I get in line to get my Mexican pizza, knowing that I'm going to get this Mexican pizza.
Were they busy? Were they slammed?
Yeah. I'm going to go park in front of my couch, and I'm going to eat my Mexican pizza. I'm going to watch my major coverage. So I go to order my Mexican pizza, and what's better than one Mexican pizza?
Two.
Yeah, what's better than two?
Three.
Yeah, what's better than three?
Four.
Four Mexican pizzas later, I'm nearly in a coma.
You did not kill four Mexican pizzas.
Because remember back to the Mexican pizza. I don't know if you've had it since it's been back. It's a little bit bigger than it was, but the Mexican pizza wasn't anytime you go to Taco Bell, you've got to have four items. And otherwise, you're going to be like, I'm not full.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
So I'm finishing up. I'm licking the fingers.
You could have went with like a chalupa or something.
Mexican pizza's back, bud. Okay. I don't even know if I'm a Mexican pizza fan. I'm not so sure. I missed it. I just got caught up in the hype of it. So I'm licking the fingers off the fourth Mexican pizza, and I started thinking about my pie shakes. Now I've got a famous pie shake that I absolutely love, but I started thinking, well, what's even better right now? Oh, I know, a chocolate Oreo shake. So I did two cups of ice cream, heated it in the microwave, crushed in some Oreos. I do my shakes.
This is how I know there's not a vacation on the horizon for you. Like, you've had your vacation. This is how I know you're back. You're back for the long haul right now.
So for those of you out there that don't use the microwave with your ice cream, you have missed it. If you think adding milk is the way to do a milkshake, you're missing out.
You got to melt it a little bit.
Yeah, you just heat it in the microwave for 20 to 30 seconds. It creamies it up. It takes the air out of it. And then you don't have these milk clots. You know, the milk gets in there, it freezes with the ice cream and creates these milk clots. You don't have that. You just got that. It melts it down into a nice, smoothie, creamy texture. If you want to make it even more smoothie and creamy, add about a tablespoon of peanut butter.
By the way, about 4 minutes ago, I probably normally would have been playing Hungry Eyes, but I won't do it today.
No, don't do it today because I'm oversharing. So anyways, I make my chocolate peanut butter Oreo cookie milkshake after eating my four Mexican pizzas, and I sink into my couch watching PGA Championship coverage. And for just a minute, like this thought came into my mind for just a minute of, I might be the luckiest man on this earth. Like I might be. Because my wife comes in and she's like, honey, did you check the leaks out there? Because we're doing some water stuff. Did you check? I said, babe, honestly, babe, I can't have you doing this right now. I'm knee deep in work.
And I've been fighting what? All the Omicron, what are the different versions? So Delta. This weekend, I was probably needing to do some yard work because I'm way behind on it right now. I'm like, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. I'm going to be on that couch or in my bed, maybe just watching. And that's what I'm going to do this weekend. I'm not even thinking about yard work.
You got to catch up on health. You got to catch up on health and work. You just got to say, look, babe, honestly, I was out a few days. The guys are upset.
Trying to get right.
I need time.
Right.
I need time. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
It's always the scariest thing. Major League Baseball taking a line drive to the head is one of the scariest things. So, Lloyd, it's a scary thing when you're a Major League player. You know, you're a 28-year-old man. You're a professional athlete. You throw a pitch, or maybe you're out there in your shortstop or something, and that line drive comes off the bat, and it's headed for your head. That's a scary thing. But when you're like a 100-pound sideline reporter for the major leagues, and you're sitting behind first base in the dugout, and a line drive comes off the bat and nails you square in the head, like, you worry about somebody dying. And that happened to a sideline reporter. Her name's Kelsey Wingert. She reports for the, I believe, that she's with the Rockies, I believe. Maybe the Giants. But anyways, Austin Slater hits this foul ball, comes off the bat, going 98 miles an hour, and hits her square in the forehead. She just released some pictures, and
so I was going to ask, was she, you know, was it in the back of the head? Was she not looking? But if it's in the forehead,
it's square in the forehead.
She must have been.
Have you seen the picture?
No, I haven't seen the picture.
Oh, there's a dent in her forehead, and she got multiple stitches, like all the way from her hairline down to her eyebrow.
And those stitches on those baseballs will dice you.
Oh, man. It split her wide open. The reason I'm even mentioning this, she put out a tweet of the picture of it, and I'm like, oh, jeez. It hit her in the forehead. So you would think she saw it coming. Maybe she didn't. But I know this, if I'm a sideline reporter, if I'm a dugout, when I'm with the kids and I'm at third base and I don't have net that extends, I'm just on high alert. Like
you have to be.
I live in anxiety with it.
You have to be. In fact, when I go to the Bees game, because, you know, you can always get good seats at the Bees, and I'm always scared to go, you know, one of those, because I'm telling you, those when they pull those balls, they rip them.
Rip them.
And
they bend.
You got to...
They're unpredictable.
Even care if you have your glove with you. Sometimes those things are just coming.
So I know they're extending nets. The other thing they need to do is restrict cell phone usage off those third base hits, because those foul ball rips that come off those bases, those are deadly. And you've still got people that are sitting there on their phone. You know, they paid $85 for their ticket, but they're still interested in the Insta.
And that's the thing. When you go to those areas, you're there to get foul balls. That's the whole reason you went. You probably got that ticket is to get a foul ball.
But is there really even a safe seat in a stadium? I know you've got the net that's right behind home. Maybe that's a safe seat.
Yeah, there is. I think there's probably a couple holes in there. That's not too bad. But it's when you go to a ball game, you gotta. Every time I go to the Bees game, I always take my glove.
Yeah.
I always take it.
You might catch a ball. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to this ugly.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
And of course, the ugly.
I don't really like this. I don't like young going after old, and I don't like people attacking Bob Cousy. I know I don't come across as the protector of Bob Cousy, but Bob Cousy's 93 years old. Bob Cousy, listen to this, Lloyd. 8-time NBA assist leader, 10-time All-NBA first team, 2-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 13-time NBA All-Star. He was the NBA's most valuable player in 1957. He's a 6-time NBA champion. He's got 6 championship rings. He's 93 years old. There is no reason Bob Cousy should have to step forward and defend himself. And maybe Bob even listening to J.J. Redick was his bad. But this is what J.J. Redick had to say about a man with those accomplishments.
He's an all-time great point guard.
Without question.
If he wins a championship, he's in the conversation for the greatest point guard ever. I'm not saying
he's not. Greatest point guard, he's not Bob Cousy. He's not Bob Cousy.
Bob Cousy couldn't dribble with his left hand.
Bob Cousy changed the game. Chris Paul didn't change the game.
Bob Cousy won championships when there were 8 teams in the NBA and you had to win 2 playoff series.
Guys, hold on.
Let's celebrate Bob Cousy and his era, but you can't compare pre-1980 with the modern NBA.
You
no, you cannot. Cousy, no, you cannot.
Well, how about Weston Oscar? Can you compare Cousy with Weston Oscar?
The great players could play in any era. There's no doubt about
Cousy
that.
Cousy was first team All-NBA when Weston Oscar were playing. And he was first team All NBA. That's against Weston Oscar.
Well,
first team All NBA.
You know,
has Paul ever been first team All NBA?
Did Bob Cousy ever shoot over 40% from the field?
Well,
in his
we
career?
Understand that.
Did
You're
he
right.
overshoot? Did he
no,
ever shoot over 40%?
Probably 39-40%. Different kind
not
of game.
Not once.
Once. That's fair. He also had 29 assists in an NBA game.
Oh well, you know, he was being guarded by plumbers and firemen.
Oh God.
Can't call those guys he went against plumbers and firemen. There was some serious greats.
Oh my gosh.
I like J.J. Redick,
too.
It's
so cringeworthy.
I like him because he says what he feels, and he's very open and honest about things.
Yes.
Especially with players that are in the NBA right now. He's not far removed, and so, but, man, what did Bob Cousy do to you?
Well, man, he's becoming the former player version of a screaming Ace Smith.
Right.
Or the former player version of, what's the older guy that used to yell back and forth with Stephen A. Smith? He's an older guy that, and I don't know his name.
You're talking about Skip?
Skip Bayless.
Skip, yeah.
Yes. He's becoming the player version of that, which is fine, and he's trying to find that angle. But you couldn't be further from the facts on Bob. Like, Bob Cousy, I'm not Mr. NBA, but when you talk Bob Cousy, you're supposed to talk with a little bit of reverence.
Right. And I'm sorry, Chris Paul, he doesn't have a ring.
Bob's got six he could share.
Yeah. Chris Paul doesn't have a ring. In fact, he's been bounced several times in the playoffs.
So I don't like the argument. I don't like the fact that Bob Cousy had to come back and defend himself. Here's what Bob Cousy had to say about J.J. Redick.
People with less talent will always try to make a name for themselves by criticizing other people and hopefully getting some attention and perhaps increasing their credibility. So when you respond to something like this, you play into their hands. I won't do that, but I will defend the firemen and the plumbers that he referenced, and I'll just give you a few of their names of these firemen that I played with and against during those years. How about Bill Russell, the aforementioned, not too bad a player. Wilt Chamberlain, remember that guy? He wasn't bad. I guess he must have fought fires as well, but in any event, Wilt Chamberlain, still the best, in my judgment, small forward that ever played the game, a guy named Elgin Baylor, a couple of point guards that weren't too shabby. My colleague who also had an award created, a guy named Oscar Robertson, who was pound for pound the best player perhaps in the game. Jerry West wasn't too shabby. The guys on our team, Sam and Casey Jones, a guy named Hondo Havlicek wasn't too bad. Tom Heinsohn, Frank Ramsey, George Mikan, Bob Pettit. I could go on and on. And we must have had the best firemen and plumbers on the planet at the time. So, and I was very proud to play with all of them.
Oh, you feel good, JJ? How you feeling? Listen to those comments, JJ.
Oh, those names he just rolled off.
Yeah, you better call Bob Cousy, and you better apologize. JJ.
Did he ever hit above 40%? Bob Cousy's like, no, because my right hand was weighed down with championship rings. Oh, my gosh. It's embarrassing that he even had to defend himself. But great stuff there. Bob Cousy. By the way, Bob Cousy right there at the tender age of 93.
Sharp.
Rolling off every name. 90. He was born in 1928.
Didn't name all these names. I'm like, what? I can't reel off those names.
He was 13 years old when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. He was 13. He was a teenager when Pearl Harbor was attacked. 93, and he's like, what did he go through, 20 names? Now, they are the greatest names in basketball. You know, every one of those names.
They're guys that he played with.
Again, I'm not an NBA historian, but every one of those names, very familiar. Definitely not firemen. Definitely not plumbers.
Have you watched
plumbers?
I mean, you mentioned Jerry West. Have you started that Winning Time?
I did. I started it, and I didn't like it. I started. It's not my bag, baby.
No,
I didn't like it. No.
Well,
I don't know what it is. I don't like them turning to the camera and being like, "And I was a happy guy." Like, you know.
I love the satirical part of it. Like, it's very, the satire of it is. Yeah, and what they did to Jerry West, and I don't even care if it's so far from the truth.
Yeah.
He's my favorite character.
Yeah.
I love what they did to Jerry West.
I made it through the first episode, and I was like, nah, well, it's not my bag. I didn't feel like they got Magic Johnson nailed at all. Like, that guy doesn't come across as Magic's temperament to me. Now, maybe Magic was different back then, but has Magic complained at all about
the depiction? No, I haven't heard it, but I feel like, you know who I feel like wrote it? I feel like Jeannie Buss was heavily involved in this because she was very
glamorized and
because she showed that she's been really held back, but you could tell she's like she seems like the smartest person in the room.
Yeah,
like they really, but nobody gave her really a shot.
Yeah,
just because she's the daughter, she's just this young thing out of college.
She might be the engine behind the development.
It feels like this is something Jeannie wrote.
I don't know. I didn't like it at all, so I didn't finish it. Are you caught up with it?
You kidding me? You saw how sick I was and how much I've been out. Oh. That's all I did.
You love it?
I slept and had it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I finished the whole series.
Oh, so is it done now? It's wrapped up?
Season one. I think they have more seasons because it goes through their dynasty.
Oh, wow.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.